out of Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin, verse 9. Says here, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor from that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And let us all look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for you tonight, Lord, and the working in our lives, Lord, and the missions you have for us to do, Lord. Let's pray, God, that you would be with each of us, Lord. Help us be faithful, Lord, to press forward, God, and serve you with all the heart, Lord. We just pray to have your way in this service, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for what you've done already, Lord. Just give you the praise and thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's plenty of evil in this world. And, you know, there's things happen every day. We have opportunity to put in practice what this is saying. And there's a situation just the other day, wife and I were talking about one person mistreating another, and it made me very angry. I wanted to do something about it. At the same time, your hands are tied to a certain extent. Just got to pray for that individual and just ask the Lord to have his way and just let him take care of it. I believe many times when we try to take control of the situation and work things out the way we'd like to, we end up making a bigger mess than what would have been done if we just let the Lord take care of it. And says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And, you know, that's one of the requirements that the Lord has for us to enter and into heaven. And it says, be holy. And I can't remember the rest of the scripture there. You know what one I'm referring to. But anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And I was thinking this morning, Pastor was talking about Paul, how he went about persecuting the church and had Stephen stoned. And you know, he held the coat by the men that did it, that were responsible, but he was behind it. And God didn't just take control of the situation immediately at that time, but he was still working in Paul's life. And later on down the road, we see how he transformed Paul into a useful vessel to work through and had many things for him to suffer, and how he would be a witness for the Lord. And, you know, a big part of the New Testament, as he said, was written by Paul. And it was not only beneficial to Paul, but each and every one of us. We have the scriptures that help us, you know, because of what the Lord did in him. In Proverbs 20 and 22, Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. And also Proverbs 24:29. It says, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his works. And when I was growing up, someone done you wrong, you felt like you need to do twice what they did to you, you know, get even. That was just the code of the land at that time, you know, the old carnal nature, I guess you could say. But thank the Lord, you know, he changes. You know, he gives us a desire to be patient and long-suffering and use a little wisdom. And I thank the Lord when those drones got shot down here recently, President Trump, he didn't just go in there and lose control and just try to start another war, but he used a little wisdom. I think that was a good choice on his part. And it's not showing weakness, it's just showing you know, caution and using wisdom, I think. But we need to pray for our president. You know, he's got a difficult job, and it's no matter who's in there, you know, it's not easy. There's a lot of important decisions made each day by him. But 1 Peter 3:8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace. And we were clocking out here recently, I guess about a week ago, and know, guys talking before quitting time, they can come up with some pretty wild stuff. And one guy I've known for years, he's a Christian, and he was saying something, but one of the other guys that isn't a Christian was talking to him, and he boldly come up with a comment, you know, when I see God, I'm going to cuss him out, you know, I'm going to tell him. I thought, man, how dangerous that is, you know, to talk like that. You don't realize who's giving you the very breath you got, you know, and he could snuff you out in a heartbeat. But thank the Lord that he doesn't he doesn't overlook it, but he's patient and long suffering. And you know, I've just been praying for that guy since. Hope the Lord gets a hold of him and opens his eyes to the truth. You know, it was, I just couldn't believe my ears when I heard that. Genesis 15:19. It says, and Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. For as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, for I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. And we know the story, how Joseph was sold by his brother into Egypt, and they mistreated him many times. It went a long route. All this life seemed like there, but God had a plan for his life, and he was just put through a lot of different things, but God was with him everywhere he went and blessed him. And I love the story there, talking about Joseph, how God used him to preserve life and to help his own family there and many others. But one saying I got off the internet there, it says, do not, by giving place to evil, become precisely the same character which thou condemnest in another. So we don't want to retaliate and come up doing something just as bad as the other that's done bad to us. We want to use wisdom and patience and pray, Lord, have your way. And 1 Samuel 17:37 says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And we know how David went up against Goliath there, and he slayed the giant, and he was victorious. And we go over to chapter 18, verse 6, and it said, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from slaughter of the Philistines, that the woman came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth and saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom of God? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And he became jealous of David because of how the Lord had used him and was victorious in his situation. And he wanted to destroy him. And find a place here. Verse 14, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. In verse 29, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And he kept pursuing David and tried to slay him. In chapter 24, verse 16, it says, and it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice of my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Thou hast shown this day how thou hast dwelt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedst me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord rewarded thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. And shortly before that, Saul took 3,000 men, chosen men. They were pursuing David, and he was in a cave hiding there. And Saul came right by him, and he cut off a piece of his garment, and he could have taken his life. And Saul never even knew it. And later, it was revealed to him what had taken place, but David said he would not harm the Lord's anointed. He was, even though he could have, he didn't want to do that. In chapter 31, verse 2, it says, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchius, Saul's sons. These names I can't hardly pronounce. The battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor bearers, draw thy sword, thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearers would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And we see how eventually the Lord dealt with the situation. I mean, I hate to see anyone die, but we see here David, he didn't have to take his life, but later on down the Lord took the situation and took care of his enemy there. He no longer had to flee from him and worry about him, but God took care of it. In 2 Kings 6 and 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man he saw. Behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots, a fire round about Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said to them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you unto the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, and they were that they may see. And the Lord opened the eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elijah, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword, and with the bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Assyria came no more into the land of Israel. And Elisha had the mastery over his enemies there. He could have taken them, but the Lord said, not to slay them, but just turn them loose, fed them and turned them loose. He did good to his enemies instead of evil. In Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. In Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Bless them and curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask thou not again. As you would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them. And so we love our enemies also, those that despitefully use us and persecute us, just do good to them. And hopefully it'll convict their heart and they'll turn their heart to the Lord. In 1 Peter 3:8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love us, brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. That we are to show compassion, and we get a chance, we need to be like Jesus when he was on the cross. He looked down and said, Father, forgive him. And when he was reviled, he reviled not. In Galatians 6:10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. So it doesn't leave anyone out, but it says especially those that are brethren in the Lord. Treat them good. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when Jesus comes in our heart, like I said, he gives us a change of attitude. We don't want to be spiteful and mean towards others and retaliate against them, but we want to be patient, loving, and reach out to them, try to win them to the Lord. And just like the disciples, one time they said, Lord, shall we call down lightning upon them and, you know, strike them? But he said, no, you don't know of what spirit you are of. He wanted to save them, not destroy them. And 1 John 5:4 says, Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And he is exceedingly abundantly above, able to do what we ask or even think. I mean, he's there to help us in situations where it looks like there's no hope. He can turn it around and help us. He said he sees even the little sparrows out there. When one falls, he knows all about it. And he loves us much more than them. He's concerned about us. And Revelations 2 and 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we want to be overcomer. It says, they that endure to the end, they are the ones that shall be saved. And we got to overcome all the attacks of the enemy. There's going to be many, but the Lord's with us, and he'll go with us all the way to the end of the world. In verse 11, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. We'll give him a white stone, and that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As a vessels of a potter shall they be broken, to shivers, even as I received of my Father. I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. In chapter 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. So there's many promises to the overcomer. And it's only through Christ, as we said in John, it's only through Christ we can come to the Father. We can't get to him any other way. But if we're going to have the victory, it's only by Christ and his mercy and his grace and him working in our life. And your living is determined not so much by what life brings to you, but as to the attitude that you bring to life, not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens. So it's like looking at the glass that's half full or half empty. You know, no matter what comes to you, you can find something good in it and see the Lord's hand, and he can bring us through it, or you can look at it in a negative aspect and be a victim. You know, many people look at it that way, but I thank the Lord that he is there to help us, and he will help us to overcome. And it's only we overcome by good. And don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And God is doing that in a greater scale as we can look his plan, and we know how it's all going to turn out, and good will prevail over evil in the end. I just praise our Lord. Back to you, Pastor.